Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Happy holidays, everybody, and welcome to the Fans First Sports Network's College Football Feed's latest episode of Fame and Fortune and everything that goes with it. Here we break down the college football rankings and the Heisman Trophy race in ways that nobody else across the college football landscape are doing. But before we do that, let's introduce ourselves. My name is Matt Tamanini, and I am joined by our West Coast Bureau Chief, Jamie Urich. Jamie, it is getting to be the holiday season. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful that Ohio State is still undefeated. And I'm super thankful for my very cute little niece who will be 3 months old on Saturday and decked out in OSU gear.
Good for her. Good for her. You are anting well. Are you going to be with them for Thanksgiving or no?
No, I'll stay in LA, but I'll be home for 2 weeks at Christmas time. So that'll be really nice.
Wonderful. Of course, also thankful for Ohio State being undefeated, as we are both Ohio State alums, but I am just as thankful for the ongoing hilarity and absurdity that is Michigan's cheating, sign-stealing scandal, because that has been a joy, not only because it's just fun, but because it has dissuaded the fervent Ohio State vocal minority that is just negative for negative sakes to focus that animosity towards the actual Ohio State team. So it's been a nice respite to actually focus on the rivals rather than nitpicking every single thing with this year's Ohio State team.
I think that's a very wonderful thing to be thankful for.
All right, so what we do here on Fame and Fortune and everything that goes with it is we give our personal college football playoff rankings, and then we break down what we think will be the final CFP rankings when the seeds are announced following championship weekend. And then we get down into the Heisman Trophy conversation. Jamie, I feel like we are so close that at this point we have to stop talking about who we think should be the finalists and kind of fast forward to say who we think should win. So we'll get into all of that. And of course, as we are getting deeper into the season, only 1 week left in the regular season, some conference championship games already have their matchup set. I feel like our personal rankings are going to blend very closely with the actual final CFP rankings, and it really might just be a situation where we have to figure out the order rather than actually who is involved. But when last we talked before I set off to a work trip in New York City last week, you had Florida State at number one, Georgia at number two, Michigan at number three, and Ohio State at number four. I had Ohio State at number one, Florida State at number two, Georgia at number three, and Michigan at number four. So the same teams, just in a different order. Let's start with number four. Where are you this week in your own personal rankings at number four, Jamie?
So it's interesting because I feel like the same way that you and I have kind of had similar teams in different orders, I have felt that comparably with the committee in recent weeks. And so I think their top four teams are correct. I have them in a slightly different order, and I have a caveat. I have Michigan in that number four spot solely based on the fact that, like, I mean, Maryland is a good football team, but they did not win handily enough against Maryland this past weekend for me to keep them like above teams that have had better strength of schedule this season. Now, based on the eye test alone, they still terrify me. And so we'll get to all of that because there are ramifications with this week's game. They still terrify me. But based on what the games that have been played so far, I've got them in my number four spot.
Yeah, I think that is very fair. I am going to go pretty much chalk here when it goes to the college football playoff rankings. I've got Washington at number 4. I had Florida State in the rankings, and they have not lost, but they have lost because they lost their quarterback. And I think at this point, when you've got Jordan Travis out, presumably for the rest of the season, you know, maybe not, but at least for this week and going into, which is a game they play Florida, and then they go into the ACC championship game against Louisville. I just can't justify them taking over one of the seeds when they've lost such a major factor. Now, if they come out and have a Cardale Jones-like performance from the backup quarterback, they could obviously jump back into the top 4, especially with obviously Michigan or Ohio State losing. But for now, I think they're on the outside looking in, not to quote the titular deer and Dear Evan Hansen.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And, you know, again, I agree with you. Like, the caveat is that they could come out against Florida, which is, you know, Florida is not their toughest opponent this season, but it will certainly be a great game for us to kind of see how they fare without Jordan Travis, because Florida is a good team. And it does, you know, it's a rivalry game for them, so anything goes. But I don't even see, I think even if they beat Florida without Jordan Travis, unless it's like they destroy everyone in their wake, I could almost see the committee sneaking a one loss team in over them. I don't know if that's the right choice, but it is one that I could see the committee making.
Especially if Alabama beats Georgia in the SEC championship game. Like, I feel mm-hmm. like that is just something that they very well could do at any point.
Yeah.
All right. So who do you have at number 3 then, Jamie?
I have Washington at number 3. Their strength of schedule these last few weeks has been pretty insane. And like, yes, they have been close games, but they beat 3 ranked opponents in a row. And I came in here the last time we talked saying there's absolutely no way that Washington wins out, right? They went USC, Utah, Oregon State, boom, 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 and won all of those games. And 2 of those teams have since dropped out of the rankings, but they were ranked teams when Washington played them. And both the USC game and the Oregon State game were on the road. So I was very impressed with the way that they handled a really tough back half of the season. And they're still undefeated, and we'll get to their quarterback when we talk about the Heisman, but I think they look good.
Yeah. I think that's a totally fine place to have them. I have Michigan in this spot because I'm just crimping off the CFP committee apparently, but given how they have looked in the last 3 games, which, gosh, I don't know what could have possibly happened since the October 21st game that could have changed their entire ability to produce on both offense and defense. It really staggers the mind and boggles the mind as to what could have changed. But at this point, they're undefeated. Their stats are incredible. And the thing that we'd said earlier in the year is that, oh, they haven't played anybody. I mean, at this point, they don't have a marquee non-conference game, but like other than the Notre Dame game, it's more or less the same rankings in terms of strength of schedule and opponents, you know, offensive status and defensive status. It's pretty much the same as Ohio State's, but they don't have the win on the road at Notre Dame. They do have the win on the road at Penn State, where Ohio State beat them at in the horseshoe. But at this point, they're back a little bit. Their quarterback has dropped off a cliff since the sign stealing scandal was broken. So shrug emoji, I don't know. So I've got them at 3rd because you kind of have to, they're undefeated, but I don't know how much to put into this game, which we will obviously talk about, especially on No Fall Weddings, but they're in 3rd for me and they're at 4 for you. So I think we're of similar mind there.
Yeah. And like I said, like they're at 4 based on what's happened so far this season. They still terrify me. Like, we'll get to the butt of it all in a little bit.
So who do you have at number 2 then? I'm assuming our number 1s and 2s are the same.
I have OSU at number two. I think that's the correct spot for them. I agree with the committee. And yeah, my number one is going to be the same as the committee as well with Georgia. I think for a while, Georgia hadn't done enough for me to personally put them in that number one spot, even though I understand that the committee is going to weight the fact that they're an SEC team, for better or worse. That is just the way that things go in college football. And so the SEC schedule is considered really tough, but I didn't feel that they had done enough to like eke into that. But I do think that like curb stomping Tennessee was enough.
And Ole Miss. Yeah. Ole Miss and Tennessee in back-to-back weeks. And they did beat Missouri, although that was a much closer game, but yeah, it's not dissimilar from what you said about Washington. Kind of, we expected there to be some sort of chaos with one or both of those teams down the stretch, and both of them survived what was essentially a gauntlet to kind of earn their spot. So I too am number two, Ohio State, and Georgia number one.
Yeah, I do still think that this is not an infallible Georgia team the way that they have been
sure
in past seasons. Like I think that this is a number one seed that could lose in the first round of the playoffs. Nothing is out of the question. But I also think that Carson Beck has looked really good and composed. And I think that they've earned that number one spot in my brain now. It doesn't feel like it's just the committee being like, oh, SEC, SEC.
All right, so let's go to the actual playoff committee predictions. What we think, with two games left, will be the actual seedings. Obviously, there is rivalry week this week, and then conference championship week. So, on December 3rd, when the playoff committee announces the actual seedings for the four-team playoff, what do you think that order will be, Jamie?
This is where it gets chaotic. I do think that Georgia is going to keep that number one seed, but like they have to play Alabama in the SEC championship game. So things could go haywire from there. I hate it so much. I really think Michigan is going to win on Saturday. I have a really bad feeling about it.
You're dead.
And this might just be me. This might just be self-preservation, right? Like I might just be so like scarred from the last 2 years that I'm like going in expecting that, so that if they do, it doesn't hurt as much. And if we win, I'm like so happy. But I just kind of have had a really bad gut feeling about it all year. And in that regard, I think that they will sneak into that number two spot if they beat OSU. I have Washington at number three. I think they'll win this weekend. And I think they're going to win out based on what we've seen from them the last 2 weeks. And so that would slide them into the number three spot. And I think a one loss Ohio State is getting in with that four spot over even an undefeated Florida State because of the aforementioned Jordan Travis of it all.
Ooh, okay. I've kind of let that boat sail on the Big Ten second place team. Sorry,
Iowa. You think if Alabama wins, then Georgia would be the one loss team?
Yes, yes. If Alabama beats Georgia, they are both in. So I think that this committee is going to take into account what happens on Saturday. Obviously, they're going to, but primarily more so with Michigan than anybody else. We have seen since the sign stealing thing has come up, and I mentioned earlier, Michigan just has not been as productive either on offense or defense. Now they did handle Purdue, but Purdue's Purdue. Against Penn State and Maryland, they did not look like the same team. All due respect to Maryland, Penn State is clearly a better team than Maryland is. So you expect that game to be a little bit more difficult. But they look like they've regressed even from there against Maryland. So I think if Ohio State comes out and, I'm not going to say handily, like 28-point victory, but if Ohio State wins by two and a half touchdowns, that I think that even though maybe in a normal year that would be okay, and the team that loses, Michigan could get in, like Ohio State did last year after losing handily in the game, I think that the committee will take into effect that, like, oh, maybe this means that that sign stealing and the cheating actually played into it. So I'm going to keep the top two the same as I've had in previous weeks and go Georgia and Ohio State. But then we're going to get chaotic. Like, I am going to go Oregon at number three, which means that I think that they are going to avenge the only loss that they have on the season and beat Washington in the final Pac-12 championship game. And that, again, assumes that they beat Oregon State this week in the Civil War, although I don't think they're calling it that anymore. But then here we go, Jamie. It's going to get even more chaotic because I'm going to put Texas at number four. I think what? Here's the thing. Alabama in this situation is out. Well, but Alabama in this situation is out because they will have two losses. So they are gone. Washington and Florida State would be in there. In this situation, I actually do think that Florida State is going to lose one of their last two games. So I think having the same record as Texas, with Texas and Florida State, Florida State's gone because they don't have their quarterback. And presumably in this situation, they did not win the conference championship, although I guess they could lose to Florida and beat Louisville. But I think even if they are both conference championships at 11 and or conference champions at 11-1, Texas has Quinn Ewers back. Florida State does not have Jordan Travis. So I give the leg up to Texas. Here is where it comes down to Texas versus Washington. Right now, Washington is ahead, obviously, because they are undefeated. Could they lose to Wazoo and Oregon? Possibly. I've already got them losing to Oregon. We know that. But even if they don't lose to Wazoo, I think the fact that we have seen kind of a regression to the mean for them in terms of what this team can do on offense in the last couple weeks. They scored 35 against Utah, which Utah is a great defense, but it came down. But then against Oregon State, they only scored 22. And their defense has kind of been solid-ish all season. But I think that against Oregon, a team they only beat by three a month ago, that there's a distinct possibility that Oregon kind of just outshines them, and like maybe even by double digits. And then if you have Texas, who in my situation would win the Big 12 championship, would avenge its only loss, I think that there's a possibility that we could see Texas sneak ahead of a very faulty Washington that does not have the conference championship. They always say that like the conference championship only comes into play when it is super close and you need a tiebreaker. In this situation, I think that might be it. Texas's only loss would have been to Oklahoma by four on a neutral site. And then they avenge it. They would have a win over Alabama, and that would be equivalent to Washington beating Oregon. But then Washington would have also lost to Oregon. So I think that it's a possibility if Oregon looks significantly better than Washington in the Pac-12 championship in Vegas in a week and a half. So I know, crazy, but we love chaos. And I think that is a potentially chaotic situation there.
That is more chaotic by far than me thinking Colorado was going to win in week one of the season. Like, I'm having the response to that that you had to me. And like, let's be clear, I was right and things went haywire. So like fire, which I would love so much. That's insane. And but this is also, it's been that kind of a season, right? Like, if things are just going to go bonkers at the end, that kind of fits the way that the season has gone.
Yeah. I don't know that we've had necessarily like the big marquee chaos that we've had in other seasons, although we still could, but I think like they've been saving it up for the end here. So I would enjoy that quite a bit.
Me too.
All right, let's take a real quick break and then we're going to dive into the Heisman Trophy conversation. So stick with us. We will be back in just a minute. All right, welcome back to Fame and Fortune and everything that goes with it from the Fans First Sports Network college football feed. I'm Matt Timonen, and I'm joined by Jamie Yurich. Jamie, let's get into the individual awards situation here. The Heisman Trophy really does seem to have been narrowed down to four guys. And you can correct me if you have somebody else that you want to throw in here and we can discuss it. But to me, at this point, I think the finalists are Michael Penix Jr., Bo Nix, Jaden Daniels, and Marvin Harrison Jr. I don't see a situation where anybody else really sneaks in there. I mean, there certainly could. There's you know, plenty of football left to be played. But for now, like, those guys seem fairly cemented in their spots as finalists. Do you agree or not?
Oh, I absolutely agree. And I think the only other person that I would have put in up to this point is out of the running by default, because Jordan Travis with an injury is not going to get in. Whether that's right or wrong, like, I do take some issue with the committee just kind of like dismissing people based on injury at the end of a season when they've played the whole season or what have you, or they've missed one or two games. Like, that, it is something that I take issue with, but I also understand it, because you then don't have those games to say, well, they shone or they bombed. And the reality is, like, he's not going to make the cut if he's out for the season. He's not going to make the cut even just being out on Saturday. So I think those four are pretty solidified, because he's the one that could have maybe snuck in over one of those four in my brain. And that's not going to happen now.
No, it's not. And it is too bad. And I think you're right, because, like, missing a game or two, like Marvin Harrison Jr. has earlier in the season, is not penalized nearly as much as it is at the end of the season. So, all right. So I'm going to ask you two questions, and we can answer them both one at a time. Who do you think deserves to win the Heisman Trophy out of those four finalists?
Oh, it's so hard, because I could really make a case for all of them. And, like, my heart, what's happening on paper, and my head all say three different things.
Yes, I agree.
So, like, what's happening on paper has to be Michael Penix Jr.
Oh, okay. That's not where I'm going to go there. I think the one... So you're saying, are you saying on paper that's who you think will win, or...
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go somewhere different. I think Bo Nix is going to win.
Bo Nix to win, and I don't think it... Oh. Well, that's where my head is. My head is Bo Nix.
Okay, so let's do it this way. Who do you think will win? You think Michael Penix Jr. is going to win the Heisman Trophy?
I think Michael Penix Jr. will win the Heisman.
Okay, I've got Bo Nix. So who, if you were a Heisman voter, who would you vote for?
Well, that's hard, because am I voting with my head or my heart?
No, like a legitimate, like objective
who
I think, vote.
Like, who will win, who should win, and who I want to win. Who will win? I say Michael Penix Jr. Who should win? I think Bo Nix.
Okay, that's, I have Jaden Daniels. I would vote for Jaden Daniels, because even though they've lost, he's lost a couple games, but, like, his numbers are eye-popping. When you figure in the fact that he is up there with Penix and Nix in terms of every passing statistic and ahead of them in many of them, and then also has 1,000 yards rushing. So, like, that to me is, like, to me, I would vote for Jaden Daniels. From there, I assume that you and I have the same candidate that we would vote for with our hearts.
Yeah, we got to go Marv. Actually, and I have a number of reasons, because, like, yes, the homer in me wants the OSU guy to win, and I love Marvin Harrison Jr. So, like, that's the piece of it. But the other piece of it is just from a practical perspective. I get very annoyed and bored with the Heisman becoming a quarterback award. And that's just the nature of what it has become. And so I would be like, also, he's not a quarterback. Extra points for Marv.
Yeah, very fair. I've done a couple interviews this week for over on the Land Grant Podcast Network, talking to people about the Ohio State Michigan game. And to be quite honest, I think this was Nick Bumgardner from The Athletic, who does a lot of their draft coverage, but also used to cover Michigan. he still thinks, not only does he still think that Marvin Harrison Jr. can win the Heisman Trophy, he has had him at number one on his Heisman Trophy ballot, and he is a Heisman Trophy voter for weeks now. So, like, I don't want to dismiss Marv having a chance to win just because he's a wide receiver. Like, if he goes out and dominates against both Michigan and Iowa, two very, very good defenses, I think there is an outside shot. The problem is that, like, Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix are not, they're not going to play each other on the field, but their teams are going to play each other. So, like, one of them is going to get a massive win. And I think Jaden Daniels, his season is not over, but it doesn't have nearly as much hype around it. So it's like, it's tougher for him to get the Heisman Trophy moment. So, like, if Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. looks really good in their matchup, that could be, you know, a pretty determining factor. The other thing is that, like, Heisman voters don't have to wait until after the conference championship games. So, like, they could vote already, and what they do in the conference championship games won't matter. But I agree with you that it would be great to have Marv. I'm not counting on it, but there's at least one person who is going to be casting a vote, at least as of now, who would put him at number one, which would be very exciting. And then it brings up the possibility of, like, do these three quarterbacks split votes? And does Marv sneak in because the quarterbacks have kind of, there is no definitive winner, so they all kind of get their own little segment of the pie, and Marv gets enough, you know, second place votes and a handful of first place votes to come out on top. That would be fun. That I would love.
That would be fun. I actually think that there is a good case for a Jaden Daniels win in that same vein of, like, I could see Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix splitting votes, and then Jaden Daniels sneaking in.
Yeah, I certainly think that that's a possibility. I think that is something that very well could happen. All right, Jamie, that is all that we have here on Fame and Fortune and everything that goes with it. We will be back on Saturday morning to bring you all of the important games that you need to know about in every college football window. That episode of No Fall Weddings will kick off early morning on Saturday, so make sure that you are factoring that in to your pregame rituals. Jamie, it's been fun. Next week, these are going to be like our official predictions time, where we have to pick who we think the final four teams will be and who we think is going to be representing their individual conferences and their schools in the college football playoff, because they've only got one week left. So it is very exciting. I can't believe this college football season has flown by so fast, but it has been an enjoyable one nonetheless.
Yeah, this one's been a fun one because it's been unpredictably chaotic.
Yeah, we love chaos, and that is all that we can really do is hope for more of it as we get into the end of the season. All right, everybody, if you are not already, make sure that you are following the Fans First Sports Network college football feed wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any other platform that you so choose. You can follow us on social media at Fans First SN. You can follow me at BWW Matt. You can follow Jamie at Jamie Urich, JamiJurich. All right, everybody, have a wonderful Thanksgiving, a happy holidays. Enjoy the chaos on Saturday, because after Thanksgiving, which is generally chaotic in a lot of households, and then Black Friday, it can only get worse from there.